and welcome to In Mum's Good Books. My name is Nikki Sims-Chilton and I am your host. Now, this is episode 3, and in this episode I sat with Louise Bromley in a cafe in Milton in Brisbane. Now, Lou and I had a long chat or argument or discussion, as you may want to call it, about Terry Pratchett. Among other things, Lou is a mum of 2 children, and she's also a reporter for ABC out on the Granite Belt. Lou and I know each other from a few different walks of life, so you'll hear all about that too. And we also indulged in a glass of wine while we had the chat. So I hope you enjoy the show and have a wine with us. We're sitting here today in Mary Ryan's bookstore. I'm with Lou Bromley and I'm about to chat to her on In Mum's Good Books, but I just wanted to say I've learnt a little fantastic fact about Mary Ryan's at Milton is that it's licensed. So, cheers,
Isn't it
Louise.
Civilized?
It's lovely, yes. And civilised. We're sitting on a couch at the back of the store.
Drinking wine in a bookstore. It's perfect, isn't it?
It's very perfect.
I'm feeling better and better as this glass goes on.
So
we can just lock the doors and leave, I don't know, the plebs to do whatever they're doing on the pavement. How does that sound?
Do we need to apologise for the end of the podcast if it gets messy, or are we
comfortable? I just think it's going to keep getting better and better as it goes on. I might have to apologise to the plebs. I think I might be a pleb who has slunk into this poor bookstore and have found cold wine on a hot, humid day.
Perfect.
Let's talk books.
So,
how are you?
What are you reading right now?
I am doing a Terry Pratchett challenge, so I follow the Terry Pratchett fan club via Facebook, and as a retrospective this year, the fans get to decide each month which book we're all reading, and then we spend the month some fans love fan art, and we talk about how do we think the characters look like, because there's a lot of artists that have worked. Josh Kirby's done most of the work with Terry Pratchett, but there's been others as well. So it's about how we see this vivid world of Terry Pratchett, Discworld, really, in our heads. And we also talk about what we, you know, there might be a little nuance that we've never noticed after all this time. Because we're talking about books that were written late 80s, early 90s that we're doing at the moment. So it's not exactly, you know, it's not the latest bestseller of his. These have been around for ages. So, and also different ages and different people see different things and get different meaning as they go through.
So I'm cringing right now at the thought of even reading a Terry Pratchett book.
You need more wine, I think.
I had one experience of Terry Pratchett for my book club, and it was The Colour of Magic. I believe that might be his first. Is that correct? Or
I think it's the second.
Okay.
After the The Light Fantastic.
Right. Well, anyway,
I could look that up, and I'd encourage anyone listening to prove me wrong, because we'd like to hear from you about how I haven't actually revised that.
Well, I got through 2 pages and went, you know what? I can't waste my life away on this book. And it subsequently scored very low at my book club. So I
feel like you need a hug. That sounds like it was a journey. Rocky journey.
It's probably the lowest rated book at my book club ever.
What stood out to you as so bad?
Oh,
I'm going to flip it around and interview you now. Why no love for the Terry?
Oh, I just couldn't get into it. The turtles on suitcases, or I can't even remember.
It was called The Luggage.
Luggage, sorry.
Not the suitcase, the luggage. All right. And I'm offended on the luggage behalf, but I don't know the gender of the luggage. The luggage is its own person, right, so to speak.
Well, I'll let you keep reading, Terry.
Is it because it was silly, actually, just to flip it around?
I actually don't know. I just, you know, as a mum, I don't want to waste my time on books that I'm not into. So I just...
Oh, I wholeheartedly agree.
Yeah, so I wasn't into it.
Yes.
And, you know, what's good for you is not good for me and vice versa. So that, I think we'll agree to disagree on the Terry.
Yes, exactly. And look, I love it because it's satire upon satire. Like, he takes the idea of being meta to a whole new level. And I think his commentary on how life works, how society operates, it's bang on. But he also pays out, really, in its very Aussie sort of way of describing it, but he's paying out on the genre that he's talking to. So he's not only a parody on life, but he's being satirical about fantasy writing and turns it all on its head, and he makes fun of it, and yet he embraces it and loves it. So it's really hard to try and figure out, do you hate this sort of genre and you're getting in there with your own take on it, or do you absolutely love it and this is your gift, that I love it so much that I can even say this is where it's being silly and let's be really open about it being silly.
All right. Well, I'll leave you to read, Terry, but why don't you tell me a bit more about you? Who's Lou Bromley?
Oh, well, she's drinking wine right now. That's a really hard question, actually, for this afternoon. Who is Lou Bromley? I've recently joined the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, their regional division. So I'm doing stories from the Granite Belt and Southern Downs region. And this is hot off the press because my first story hasn't even gone live yet. It might have gone live today, but I think it's actually going to be later in the week. I am currently writing a book, but let's not talk that up because one would actually have to produce words on a regular basis. So let's actually ignore that. What else do I do? So today is me in a nutshell, because I've been researching the novel today, and I spent today doing a professional development day, learning all about university admissions. Getting your senior certificate is fundamentally changing drastically, and it's moving to a national model. So I was learning all about new jargon today because I'm also, some call us career coaches. You may know them as career counsellors. We in the biz use jargon of career development practitioner. So I've been in that industry for 20 years. Yeah.
And you're a mum?
And that too.
Yep.
But that's only for 5 and a bit years. So I'm a mum of two, one who's just started prep and a 2.5-year-old.
So yes. When do you find time to read in between all being an ABC journalist, reporter?
I don't know.
Being an up-and-coming author and being a mum.
I have no idea, actually, how I managed to cram it in. Terry Pratchett to me is something that once I get reading him, just as a sort of a, ooh, and now I'm covered in wine, contrast and compare, I'm trying to talk with my hands. Terry I could knock off in an afternoon or a night, but he's the sort of writer where I can't put him down. Yeah. I want to just do it all in one hit.
Oh, I admire you.
You're just horrified, and you're probably not going to speak to me again, but that's okay, you don't like Terry, so you're horrifying me too. But I'm also simultaneously while I'm doing the, with Terry's only one book a month, and I know some, for some people that's arduous, but for, he's just like something I can devour in an afternoon or night. But I'm also looking at so the other book I've got on the go, and I call it a slow read, is Helen Garner's Joe Chinker's Consolations, and I apologize if I haven't quite pronounced his name right, but following a court case from late 90s of a chap called Joe Chinker who was killed, and how it was investigated, how it went through the courts, and she looks at the parents and their grief and all the unresolved issues of what really happened in that 24 to 48 hour period. And I'm loving it because Helen is wearing her heart on her sleeve. She's so upfront about the biases and it, she is feeling towards different individuals in the case, and it's so visceral, it's so raw, and I'm loving it as a mum too. I guess it's sort of like on the level of horror because, oh, we hear the raw grief that the mum of Joe is going through, and you feel that. Like once you've had kids, all of a sudden you read these books, not clinically, you're feeling it, and it is a WTF moment of what would it be like to go through that, and you can't imagine it. But because Helen Garner, how she processes things, there are some times where I read a paragraph and think, I need a week to think about what she's just raised here. And so I'm loving it on two levels. The story of the case itself is interesting, but it's actually interesting how Helen's dealing with it as the writer, the observer, and how she cannot be just the impartial party, which is something you face as, I think, a reporter. And I know that we met through the ABC Community Correspondent Program, and while we represented communities and were meant to show our passion, you also had to show all sides. And you know, now that I'm now an ABC regional, I'm finding it almost, it's like a textbook in so much as it's like guide me, Garner, on this journey.
I haven't heard of that. You are forgetting that we actually met when I was in high school.
I know, but I thought we'll say we technically met in the community correspondent. But I'm such an old duck. In terms of when I said I got into this career counselling, I did meet you when you were but a humble student coming into the careers office. And I was sometimes I describe myself in that period as an idiot, but I was a 20-something figuring out what the world of work was and figuring it out actually with all the students too. But it was that time that made me realise.
Oh, we can move past that.
Yeah.
I used to call you Ms. Bromley.
Now it's Lou. Now it's just Lou. Served me with booze. We've moved into a good place, Nikki.
We have. Absolutely.
And also you've become a mum too since then. So, it's – and I'm like – I might be getting a little bit off tangent, but that's even interesting too about how we're even sitting here on a couch, right? Because in terms of we're talking about being mums, but even then I met you as a student. I think about some of the conversations I had with those students at the girls' school where you were going to and where I was working. And I still use examples of how I helped some of those students from that time. But
I'm sure you helped me. I don't remember, but I'm sure you did.
I've seen your rap sheet. You've done really well. I'm claiming you. I like that. I'll just claim credit for her. It's all right. This wine's good.
So
edit that out.
So you said you're reading a couple books simultaneously. Do you have a big pile on your bedside table?
Yes.
How big?
We could call it the Gunner pile. That's actually a little – well, no, it's not a little. It's a big pile. But it's getting to the stage where if I add anything else to it, it's lacking structural integrity. Yeah. So one has to be careful. But there's layers of kids' books in there. Mm. Right at the end is a borrowed, it's a collection. I'm going to see if I can pronounce her name, of the Baroness de Corset and the one who wrote The Scarlet Pimpernel. Mm. And if you want to read something that reeks of white privilege, please read The Scarlet Pimpernel and you'll root for him. And he is incredibly romantic and it is lovely. And I'm deliberately mentioning that book because it segues into what I am horrified that I am reading, because there's some of my past reads still on my gonna read pile too. Yeah. And that is Nora Roberts. And oh my God. I haven't brought a copy of that. I brought good old quotes from Guards from Terry Pratchett. But there's Nora. I don't know why we're all reading her. There, I've said it. I don't know how she's making money from writing. There, I've said it. I'd still give her a hug to say good on you for doing it if I ever got to meet her. But there's when things are starting to get sexy, because we're talking chick lit. It's romance light. It's no Mills and Boone, but it sort of straddles that. There's usually a bit of crime, something insidious, and, you know, we've got to solve the mystery going on in these subplots. But there's absolute clangers. So things are starting to get steamy between girl and lad in question. And I still remember this phrase, which actually... it felt like I tripped over while reading, and it was geyser of greed. And I just kept reading those words thinking, how is that meant to be sexy? This is like pouring cold water on my poor couple. No one likes a geyser of greed when things are starting to get a little naked and a little steamy. I was like, no, Nora, we're going to break up now. And so anytime I'm tempted. Sorry?
So you've given up.
It's cold turkey. Mm. Anytime I've been tempted, I just look at these books going, no, geyser of greed, lady. That was appalling writing. We do not need to have to go there again. I do not need any more geysers of greed in my life. I'm not sure quite how to actually frame that. But they're so formulaic too. And one could even argue Terry Pratchett is.
Mm.
And I think that's valid because I think he does actually follow, perhaps you could say, formula or a style or a way. You can see how it's all headed. Yeah. But, it's just it's very much writing to – it's almost like painting by numbers. It is just such this brain fluff. So it's been handy lately where I was just in a reading drought and I just thought, I just need something – where it's not taxing on my intellect. It's certainly not. So it met all my criteria. It was a bit of fluff. It was a bit of fun. And it lives happily ever after at the end. Oh, my God, cringe. But that meant that satisfied.
Yeah.
Yeah, a certain need. And boy, you can be done. Oh, you can do a Nora Roberts in a couple of hours and so get on with your life.
Would that be your recommendation for busy mums, a Nora Roberts book?
Yeah, you know, you've had a really busy day and your mind is going. Just, and I've subsequently read a story about it's really good to read and not on your blue screen devices. So not on a tablet, no Kindles, nothing electronic. Read an analog book and it'll help you get to sleep. And I think, I was saying Nora Roberts is going to bore you to bed. I think it's something where you don't actually have to think if you're really tired and your mind's going 1,000 miles an hour. It'll actually re-divert your attention.
Yep.
And I think it'll bring you down off an adrenaline high or your mind's, clocking over. Nice. So I think that's what it's good for. Doesn't Terry will make you smile, unless you're you.
Unless you're me, yeah.
And yes, and you'll hurl it across the room or something. I don't know, but that could work.
Thankfully, I didn't buy a copy. I borrowed it from the library. Otherwise, I would have been devastated at the waste of money.
Do you like other parodies, satires?
I don't know.
Do you prefer nonfiction?
No.
Biography, memoir?
No, I like good old-fashioned chick lit.
All right, so Nora can be okay.
Does she have a pseudonym called J.D. Robb? Is that her?
Yes.
Yeah, so I've read one of those.
Look, I'm halfway through the wine now on an empty stomach. I'm pretty sure that's her.
I think it is, but yeah.
I knew
again,
a couple of days
happy
ago.
Happy for people to correct us.
Yes, please get in contact with us and set us to rights.
Yes.
But I do believe, and I don't actually, I'll come up front, I don't really like reading crime. Mm. And I don't know why, but I really love Joe Nesbo.
Oh, yeah.
And some of that, yeah.
But is that another double person, Joe Nesbo, or is that?
I have no idea.
Joe.
I can't, actually, this is where we're going to have to rely on our listeners to actually just tell me. But I'd love anything where you're snowed in, everyone's speaking a Scandi language, and well, shit's gone down basically.
Yeah,
and there's lots
I think
of
I've
people
read it.
Very dark, Nordic noir. So I don't mind that. And so I think when I say I don't like crime, but there's very, very niche things I love. And another one I love in the crime, and it's Aussie crime actually, is Candace Fox. And I had the pleasure of studying with her at the University of Queensland, and she is fascinating, as is her writing, and it is dark too, but I can smell Sydney reading her books and some of the regional towns too that she profiles, and I think that's really good.
Mm.
So I think for me, I like a lot of things when it comes to reading, but it has to be well written.
Yeah.
And I think too, I reckon where you either like Pratchett or you're in the camp of not.
You're in the Nikki camp.
I'm still talking to you, aren't I? So, you know, it's cool. We're still friends. But it's not for everyone.
No.
And and I think people look, one of the things people look at and go, this is ridiculous. There's luggage running around with lots of little feet and it eats things and things come out of it. And it's silly. And that, for me, though, when I read it, it's a perfect parody or satire on the genre, because I think reading about, I don't know, dwarves with battle axes running around saving the world, saving this fictitious world, and the hero is doing something. Yawn, I've just, you know, fallen off the couch because I'm bored reading that. But give me someone who's paying out on that, and there's social commentary in there too, And he gets to the heart of relationships as well. He can really insert in the middle of all this chaos and silliness some beautiful observations of human nature and relationships. And that's where you just go, that's my clangs with Terry. It's like, well, man, you've just said something really heavy here and that's awesome. And then you run along with the escapade that's going with it. And while Terry, you can knock him off in an afternoon or a night, it's a different kind of experience to a Nora Roberts. You really don't have to pay attention to all the crime because
you know
she'll tell you at the end who the nasty person was doing the things that you weren't particularly interested in anyway, because the guises of greed kept getting in the way of all the sexy stuff. And I remember saying to one of my girlfriends, Nora Roberts, it's just a lot of rich white people with problems. It's just, it's outstandingly bad for that, because there's nothing in terms of diversity. It really is small town America, but cashed up small town America. You know, people own wineries who have export wine and the Italian villa, and someone's knocking them off. And meanwhile, I'm thinking, maybe you'll be all dead by the end. I don't really care. So it's just, and that's actually bad, isn't it? When you just don't care who's going to live by the end of it.
Yeah.
And you're just thinking, attachment. It could be more interesting if it was a bloodbath. So yeah, no attachment whatsoever.
Yeah.
And a lot of the sexiness too, the human relationships, like how do people actually hook up? How do they find themselves and whether it's sex or even a relationship or somewhere, all the messiness in between that. It's just all of a sudden it's conversation and then all of a sudden body smushing and then stopping. And you're sitting there going, I just don't feel this is terribly accurate. And no one ever feels terribly awkward in these books. And it's almost like, let's pretend that just didn't happen. La, 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 someone's dead. And it's like, okay, this is all very strange. Yeah. And that sort of sums. And then the end, it's all hero gets lady friend and the winery is saved or something. The winery one was ridiculous. But anyway.
I'll have to note that one down.
And it was so unremarkable, I didn't even remember the title.
Title. All right. I'll look it up and I'll put in the show notes.
I'll even look it up. It's somewhere around the house.
Okay.
I may have given it back to the best friend. It is our guilty non-pleasure.
Okay.
I think she thinks it's a pleasure. I could out her. I'll have to, if you're listening.
I'll have to read a Nora Roberts and give you my feedback.
Yes. All right.
All right.
You're on.
Favorite book of all time. Is it a Terry? I mean, you've been going on about Terry a lot.
No, because I'm indulging. Yeah, I am.
You're just indulging currently.
Yeah, it's my thing this year.
Okay.
I'm enjoying doing the challenge. Oh, I don't think I've got one. And I'm proud to say that. I think, well, look, we're here sitting in Milton, in Mary Ryan's, as we said. But, you know, when a stone's throw away from the settings for so many books that set Nick Earls up to be the prolific writer that we know. And like the Thai takeaway is less than a kilometre away from where we're sitting right now, where his main characters ordered all the food and there were some classic scenes and World of Chickens. Like this is the hood that we're talking about. I think he'd have to be one of my most favourite authors because he is someone when you read him where I can smell that Thai takeaway when he's describing it. I can smell the car fumes while I'm waiting for the characters for their takeaway or... Even in World of Chickens, they're standing in the ridiculous chook costume on the main road with a wobble board. And I'm thinking, I've driven past that. I know exactly where he is there and what fast food joint he's referring to. So I think that's really powerful that someone can so accurately, through all five senses, just through words on a page, recreate this city. Yeah. So I really feel, and I've recommended to people who've moved to here, I said, you've got to read him. Or if anyone wants to know what was it like to study in the 90s in Brisbane, around being a uni student here, read John Birmingham. He died with falafel in his hand. Back it up with Zigzag Street, World of Chickens, 48 Shades of Brown, all those sort of books by Nick Earls. Because I think they captured a time and a feel and the music scene here too at that time. We're talking Custard, Regurgitator, the birth of Powderfinger. It was amazing. And I still get shivers thinking about it. It was halcyon days, and I will always look upon them with rose-coloured glasses. It was awesome times. So, yeah, I think it's more about, for me, favourite authors rather than a favourite book. I rarely like to reread a book, which is why I'm giving this Terry Pratchett gig a go, because there's been enough distance. There's been over a decade since I've read these books.
Oh, so you're reading – oh, God, you're reading them again.
Oh, I yeah, just, oh, but geez. It's been so long, I actually don't know what actually happened in them. I have the vaguest notion of guards, that involves guards, right? And actually it's resulted with text messages to the best friends of, is this the one where this happens or is it the next book in that sort of, thread of storyline? So, and yeah, it's, and because we've read it again, it's an easy read again.
Yeah.
And it's a re-remind. So I'm not someone... But me and my brother are a good example of you're either one or the other. So I'm the person who can watch a movie and go, hey, I had fun. That was good. he'll turn around and quote something that happened in the first half hour. And meanwhile, I'm just staring at him going, that actually happened? I don't remember that yeah. quote. And he can quote line for line. So, yeah, and I've got friends who can do that with these books and I'm sitting there going, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
But I still enjoyed it just as much as they did. But I'm the big picture person, the broader storyline. Yeah. So I'm enjoying reading it because I get to pick up on the nuances that, I don't know, that they did 10, 20 years ago, but it escaped me at the time. I might have laughed out loud at the time, but I certainly didn't remember them. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, we're going to probably get kicked out of here soon, so just a couple of more questions. Favourite kids' book of all time? Or favourite kids' book that you're reading now with your kids? Or?
Yes. Look, my son, he's 2.5 years old. Oh, so for my daughter, Ivy, who's 5, she absolutely adores Tashi. So we regularly reread because there's enough stories that she can forget at 5 what actually happened. yeah, I really like Tashi. I think that's a great series that's been developed. For my son, he's completely obsessed with this puppet book. So it's a Smurf book. It's a ridiculous story. I can't stand it, actually. But because you've got this puppet, you have to put your hand through, and it's a card book, so you kind of have to do a yoga move with the Smurf puppet.
Yeah.
And it's Jokey's birthday party, and all the Smurfs pretend that they've forgotten Jokey's birthday, and they hold him a surprise party at the end. So Jokey has to do a high five, and he claps, and he does a little dance. And my son thinks it's hilarious that this inanimate object is doing things. So he just thinks puppets are the most hilarious thing yeah. on earth.
Oh, that's good.
He'd be happy if I read it 20 times, but for my own sanity, I can't do that.
Yeah. Is there any books that you particularly love?
Oh, I really enjoy reading the Tashi ones. Yeah. This is going to really bug me if I don't remember this. Because there's something I do adore reading to my son. There's one that's very simple, but it teaches opposites, and that's what it's called, and it's Olivia the Pig, which most people yep. know as the cartoon. And he just thinks it's the most hilarious thing too, what Olivia's doing. She rides a scooter for coming, and then she leaves, and she's doing like a handstand on it when it's going. And, yeah, he loves pigs, actually, at the anything pig-related. So, yeah, it's quite enchanting to be able to talk to that. And we also have another book called Orange Pear Apple Bear. Mm-hmm. And they're the only words that are in it until the last page. And it's about grammar and punctuation. And it plays off that orange is a colour and that orange is also a fruit. But they'll also do, or the author come illustrator also does the bear to look like an apple. But then it will also be pear-shaped on one. So it's about recognising oranges and apples and pears have shapes. But, yeah, understanding where the bear comes in. In the end, the bear eats them all. And eats all the fruit. The ending word is there as the bear leaves all the apple core and orange peel behind. He loves it so much, and he loves trying to figure out which order the words go in on every page opening. So it's a really good way to teach kids. Sometimes the same word has different meanings. Mm. And it's so powerful, yet it's so simple. It's just nails it. And the pictures are delightful. And he loves it so much that we actually call it a board game that's for 2-year-olds.
Nice.
It's all about an orchard and you've got to beat the crow to eat all your fruit. It's really quite cute and little wooden fruit. And it has apples and pears. We just call it apple pear or apple bear. Depending on what mood he's in. And that's what we call the game. No. Can we play Apple Bear? It's like, okay. so I particularly like that because it's so engaging.
When you're ready, I'm just going out the back. I'll be a couple of minutes. But if you want to get out, you have to press the green button inside the door in the corner.
Okay.
Probably easier at the front.
Okay, cool.
Left-hand side, green button. Just hit it, walk out, and the door close after.
Sounds good. Thank you so much.
I think I love you now. You've just let us take over your bookshop store. I might be asleep here in the morning. You might have to, give me a nudge. I don't care. Okay. I'm out of the country.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I really appreciate it.
Yeah, good luck too. See you.
All right, last question before we wrap up and scull the rest of our wine and leave Mary Ryan. So if you were going to write a book about being a mum, what would the title be?
I already have that title, and it's a working title with a dear friend. Now, we didn't plan this question. I'm so glad you asked me that. I'm just topping up your glass.
I don't know if I need more, but thank you.
Oh, you always need more. dear friend Jen down in Launceston, we've come up with a title. Jen coined the title, but we call it What a Load of Crock. And basically, we have been adding our chapters to What a Load of Crock, and it's in response to what to expect when you're expecting.
Ah.
We want to bust all the myths about motherhood, and it's not, ladies, it's not about the pregnancy. That's only 9 months. And labour, there's too much written on that. That typically lasts, in worst case scenario, 24 hours. Yes, granted, for me it was 4 days, but we won't go there. It's only four days, you know. My daughter's now 5. In the scheme of things, it's nothing. But I'm just thinking, why didn't people working, you know, chapter title, the Germageddon that you're going to have, the immense childcare germ storm that is putting your kids in care because you're going to work. And I think more needs to be talked about from a case study point of view, like real women sharing how on earth they do the juggle and, you know, like the sort of care they got and why they got that, and as well as the sort of work they do. And there's so many of us that go out and start a business on maternity leave or with young babies, and we're idiots because it's so hard. Yet, you know, we just like to add a bit of an extra challenge. And I'm being self-deprecating. I'm calling myself the idiot there, really. I've had myself in mind because that's exactly what I went and did. And it's so hard to be kind to yourself and to remember to put yourself first, because when you put yourself first, you're a better mum. You are a better worker. What are the other roles we have? You are a better person to be interviewed on a podcast, all these little ridiculous things. So, yeah, it doesn't matter how many roles that you have. You've got self-care, ladies. So the book is called What a Load of Crock, Self-Care for Mums.
And when will we expect this to be published?
Well, it's a work in progress. Okay. I would love, well, you'd have to ask Jen. I think it's by Jen with, and text messages from Lou, and another thing that should be in the book. But I would definitely read that, yes.
Mm. Yep. Happy to review on In Mum's Good Books when it's available.
You might need to
or
import.
Contribute. Yes.
Yes.
Any contributions.
Anything
feel free.
You think is a load of crock that you heard about motherhood and you just think, why weren't we actually talking about all these other things instead?
Yeah. Perfect. Well, it's been lovely chatting with you, Lou. Thank you so much.
I've had a lot of fun. I'm actually completely relaxed now with all the wine and books.
And we're in a bookshop and the owner's just walked out and left us here. He's very kind. So please come down to Mary Ryan's at Milton.
But please leave before 6 because I don't think this is a deal for just anyone.
No.
We are special in our own humble opinions. However, maybe just buy your purchases and leave before he closes.
But have a glass of wine.
Oh, and order wine.
While you're reading your new purchase.
At any time. I'm sure they're, you know, it's 1 o'clock somewhere in the world, as they say.
That's right.
Yeah, I think he's amenable to this. We'll speak for him.
Thanks, Lou. Appreciate it.
Thank you. It's a pleasure.
So I hope you enjoyed my chat with Lou Bromley. Now you can follow me on all of the social media channels at In Mum's Good Books. And you can find all the show notes from today's episode at www.inmumsgoodbooks.com.au. Thanks for listening and happy reading.